thunder and lightning and blow a few trees down and scare us a little bit, but it'll pass. Amen. Amen. We've been through some of those. Are you messing with this? All right, I think we got it right. Good. Okay, open your Bibles to a very familiar verse. I'm probably only going to use one verse, maybe read two here. Use one out of Romans chapter 12, one you're very familiar with. I feel like sometimes we get too far from the basics and need to go back once in a while and just kind of reset the button and get our foundation maybe again. Romans chapter 12, we know Paul wrote it from the Corinth to the folks at Rome. He wanted to go there. He finally went there and went to prison there, I believe, but I don't think he feared that so much. He knew it was in God's will. I'd like to talk to you a little bit on the subject tonight, the barred body. I guess that'd be all right. We could call it, will you loan your body? Could call it a lot of things, I guess. Verse 1, Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I believe I'll just stop there because that's about the verse I want to try to talk about a little bit tonight. You know, it's talking about some beseeching. I beseech you. You understand the meaning of that, don't you? That's a little more than asking. That maybe is asking with force, asking with fervor, asking more than one time. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And he's imploring strongly. Now, who's doing this? You say, well, Paul wrote the book. I understand, but the Holy Spirit's speaking through Paul. God the Holy Spirit is speaking through Paul. And who's he asking to do this? Look what he says here. He says, present your bodies, but first he says, you therefore, brethren. So he's talking to saved folks. Sometimes folks read the Bible and don't make any distinction of whether it's a saved person or a lost person being addressed, but this is to us that are saved here tonight, this verse. And the saved are being asked to lend, if you please, their body to the Lord. Now we know he owns everything and he owns it. But you know, if we'll let him use it now, one day he's going to replace it with a better one. We're just smart to give up what we cannot keep to get that which we cannot lose. Amen. And my, what a good God he is to just take these old hides and hair and wrinkles and aches and pains and yet use them for his glory. Amen. And yet that's what he's saying. He's saying here that he wants us to present your bodies. I don't think he wants to have to twist our arm to get them, but present them. Offer them to him. And then he says, of course, a living sacrifice. Let me talk about some of that. He does it on the basis of mercies. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Do you ever stop and count up and do a little figuring about how good and merciful God has been to you? I mean, it says mercies with an S on it. I mean, you just can't number them. You just keep counting the blessings of God. I do that, and maybe it's a sign of getting older, but I do it more often. I count my blessings more often. I rejoice more often about what the Lord has done. I even rejoice because I see the finish line closer. Amen? Whether it's the finish line of the trumpet, I'd prefer that. But if it's the finish line of death, that's okay too. To live is Christ, to die is gain, Paul said. So that's all right. And his mercies, I think on it a lot. For instance, salvation. A good man in our church and I were talking this week, he said, I never have gotten over getting saved. Now, I remember when he got saved. It's been somewhere around 90 years ago. I'm joking with him now. Long time, though, but it ought to be still fresh. I don't care how long you've been saved, it ought to still be fresh that God saved you from a devil's hell. Yes, and you're going to heaven. Amen. Man, just don't ever get over that. Amen. The Bible says it, and wonderful thing is I know it because I didn't earn it. I know it because I didn't work for it. I know it because I don't deserve it. But the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy that He saved us. Amen. That's one of those mercies He's talking about here. Think about your salvation. Think about the family God's given you. Maybe health. You say, well, I don't have such good health. You know somebody with worse? Then thank God for what you have. Amen. Thank God for our freedom. We still are holding on to our freedom in America. I know it's less than what it was. I know there's some bad things out there on the horizon. I understand we're being ruled to death, taxed to death, and all the rest of it. I understand that. But so far, we still got freedom to serve God and to raise our families the right way. Amen? Think about our Christian school here. It's sometimes we get probably the most criticism through it. I don't know why that parents think that when the kids get to school, they become perfect angels. Because they're not perfect angels at home. So we don't believe you a bit when you tell us that. Amen? In fact, I'll make you a deal. I've said this to you before. Let me say this to you parents. If you'd quit believing, if you'll quit believing, if you won't believe everything bad they tell you about us, we won't believe everything bad they tell us about you. That ought to put us on level ground right there. If some of you think about that just a little bit. Thank God for the opportunity to have a Christian school and the other ministries that God's given us. As freedoms disappear, and they are disappearing, somebody said to me today, said, we've gotten through some battles through the years of the Christian school to keep it free, but there'll be some more on the horizon. Because there's a power out there that don't want you and I to teach the truths of God's word. I often mention Hitler. Adolf Hitler was one of the biggest types that's ever lived of the Antichrist on this earth. I got a little note, the paper's already turned yellow, so this is a clipping out of a paper from a long time back. But here it is. In 1936, Adolf Hitler abolished all Christian schools in Germany. In 1938, Hitler required by law that every teacher in the public education system sever any relationship with any Christian or other religious organization. You know what I just read you? No wonder he wanted to establish the Aryan race. He wanted to establish the Superman race. He wanted to do all this business. But you see, this book here is for freedom. This book, if it's taught, will keep a free population. And so he was against that. And of course, he closed the Christian schools. But by the way, we've had the same Hitler type attack on public or state government education in America from way, way back. Now, some of you know, if I mention this name, you'll recognize it. You remember the name John Dewey? Well, that's a big name in the news of years ago. On this same article, it's talking about him. And it says, John Dewey is known as the father of progressive. Watch out for that word. That's not a good word. John Dewey is known as the father of progressive education in our country. What was the philosophy of John Dewey? Here it is in his words, his quote, "There is no God and there is no soul. Hence, there are no needs for the props of traditional religion." I could read it on, but hey, that is exactly the philosophy that's been in public education now for how long? For how long? No wonder they don't want you to pray in Jesus' name or even mention Jesus. That's what's going on. I want to look at this verse, though, with you just a little bit tonight. Basic stuff, but we just need to remind ourselves again. Examine the verse a little bit and see what we're talking about here. What is God really requested of us in this verse? To begin, he says, present your bodies. Loan it, give it to me, let me use it. Hey, bodies are important. Whether you like yours or dislike yours, and we all got some of both in our makeup, no doubt about it. But you know you can't change it. You can change it a little bit. You can feed it and it'll get fatter. You can starve it and it'll get skinnier. There's a few things you can do. But Matthew 6 says you can't take thought and add one cubit to it. Now, you might get you some high-heeled shoes or something, but you hadn't changed anything. You're just playing with things. Amen? I don't care how you paint it up, primp it up, powder it up, or prop it up. the whole thing's going to go down the tube sooner or later. Amen. Amen. Like rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. The whole thing's going to sing. Amen. Might as well face the truth. But our bodies are important. Here, this verse is telling God needs them. Why does he need them? He needs them to reach others through them. You read over in Hebrews 10, what is it, verse 5 or something like that, where it says over there that, talking about Jesus, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. Now the very body that Christ came and lived a perfect life with and laid down that life at the cross, he still needed a body to come to this earth, and he took on a body. Do you know God still uses and does his work through bodies? Sure he does. Sure he does. I preached on the lying mouth this morning, but God wants a true mouth he can use. He wants one that can get the word out. He wants feet that'll take you somewhere to deliver the word. He wants hands that'll thumb through the Bible and a mind that'll preach the word of God. He needs the body to get his word out, because it'll take a body to reach other bodies. That's God's plan, amen? Now, that's why our testimony is so important, folks. Other people are going to see how you act, and the only thing they can see is your body. They can hear you, but it comes out of your body, amen? That's why somebody says, well, you know, you got to watch out for this legalism. That's not your problem. Your problem is you're trying to straddle the fence and have it both ways and live for the devil and live for God at the same time, and it won't work, and it'll blow your testimony, and people will see that, and what they're watching is your body. How you act out life, how you live life, how you're separated or you're not separated. That's what it amounts to. And somebody says, well, I'm not going, you know, I'm an independent thinker. I'm a free spirit. I'll do, I heard... Heard some fellas talking about a man, and a little boy was listening to him, and they said, you know, he's a self-made man. Little boy saw him walk by, and he said, Daddy, why'd he make himself that way? Little boy got more sense than some folks. He was seeing what he could see, amen? And folks are going to see what we show them and how we act and how we live and how we act, and it's involved in this body. Now, the body is important. The devil thinks it is. The devil uses it, don't he? He uses it out there in the drug trade and the prostitution trade. The devil uses one body to murder another body, don't he? And so we see that it's important to him. And we recognize, I understand that folks can be devil-possessed. We sometimes call it demon-possessed, though the King James Bible uses the word devil and tells us who demons are. Demons are devils. That's what they are. We've heard and we've seen on the TV, some of those stupid shows. I remember one years ago, I don't know, it was on Halloween or when, they advertised they were going to have a movie on the body snatchers. Anybody see that? And then they've had it where aliens are supposed to be among us. By the way, some of that stuff they're portraying, there's an element of truth behind it somewhere. And the aliens that you see, the UFOs and all that, there is an element of truth in that somewhere. I think it's on the supernatural side, and I think much of it is on the devil's side. And you better watch out for that. If you want to see something, by the way, do you know who Judas was? He betrayed Christ. But you know what? He was walking around in a body, wasn't he? He was a man, but he came the devil incarnate. And the truth is, the devil needed his body to do the damage and do the dirt that he did. And by the way, the devil would love to have your body to do the dirt and damage that he can do. And he'll sure take it if you'll let him have it. You see, you can surrender to the Lord, and you can surrender to the devil. Now, I don't believe that a born-again child of God will be devil-possessed, but I won't say they'd be devil-influenced. And the devil can take that body and influence others. And he'd rather have a professing Christian and use them, mess up. I mean, if he's got an old lost boy out here, he's drunk, he's doping, he's cussing, he's fighting, the world kind of expects that out of him, don't they? But you let one claim to be saved and let him act that way. And then you'll see what the devil would do with that. Oh, he'll make hay off of that, I'll guarantee you. You know, the truth is the devil wants your body. It's in the body that sin is committed. Just like it's in the body that we can serve God, it's in the body that sin is committed. I know it starts in the heart. I know a man is a thief in his heart before the hand ever steals. I understand that. But still, it takes the hand to reach out and grab it. He's wrong in his heart before he ever uses the tongue to say the wrong things. But still, it's the tongue that pronounces the word. So you get a hold of this thing, that it's in the body that sin is committed. And I recognize that. You know what? The good thing is, though, is that one day, old body's going to get changed. It's going to go through what the science calls a metamorphosis. Brother, we're going to change from one creature into another. One day, this old flesh is going to drop off. One day, do you ever think about that? One day you're going to get rid of this old robe of flesh and you'll never displease the Lord again. You know how I displease him and how you displease him? We do it through the flesh. We do it through the body. And the truth of the matter is, one day we're going to get rid of that dead man that we're all dragging around. We got a saved spirit inside and we want to serve God, but the flesh and the spirit are contrary one to the other, the scripture, that we cannot often do what we want to do, and so it is a struggle and a battle. And if you got saved and thought from that point on everything's going to be great, the devil lied to you. You still got a dead man to fight with. You got the old dead flesh, it's going to pull you one way or the other. And the Bible tells us over here that one day we're going to be changed. Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Now get the two words, the contrast, the vile body, one day a glorious body. If you don't think your body is vile, if you don't think a human body is vile, just let one quit breathing around you for a couple of days. You'll know it's vile. It won't take you long to know it's vile, amen? I mean, you go over to the cemetery and you dig up the beauty queen or, you know, Miss Universe or Miss America or whatever, after she's been dead a while, and see what she looks like. I don't advise that, but I'm just telling you, it's a vile body, no matter how many medals it wins while it's breathing. Vile. But one day, undergo a change. Become a glorious body. That's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the meantime, God says, I can take that vile body. I can take it right now. I can use it. I can reach other souls with it. I can get the job done with it if you'll surrender to me. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist of old days, heard a man say that it's yet to be seen what God will do with a man that is fully surrendered to him and don't care who gets the credit. Understand what I just said? There's some folks that don't mind starring for God, but they don't want to do anything unless the spotlight's on them. Watch out for that. That's no good. I think at the judgment seat of Christ, there may be some folks in the front of the line receiving the biggest rewards of all that we never heard of. They might be pastoring some little church across the creek and in the woods that nobody ever knows about. They might be the missionary on the field that nobody ever heard about them winning thousands of converts, but they were faithful back there. And God says that fella has earned more reward than somebody that has name in lights. Oh, yeah, we got to understand. God sees not only what we're doing, but why we do it, what our motive is. Present your bodies. That means surrender them. Let God have it. And that's not easy. Boy, it's not easy. Long time ago, I think back on myself when I fought and fought over surrendering to preach because I was afraid I could not do it. I knew God didn't make any mistakes, but I sure thought he was making one that time. And I couldn't get away from the call, though, to preach. And you know what? I just finally had to surrender and say, Lord, here it is, as sorry as it is, as uneducated as it is, as weak as it is, as foolish as it is. But Lord, if you want it, I don't know what you can do with it, but here it is. And some of you are maybe sitting in that position right now. And I'm going to say this, present it. If God don't use it, you still presented it. I've never seen anybody present it that didn't get used. It might not have gotten used the way they wanted to or what they thought God would do, and he did something else. But to present it is safe ground. It's safe ground. Then it says in the verse, not only present it, but a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Living, not dying. You know, there's some folks that talk about, I'd die for Jesus. Well, he needs somebody that'll live for him. You might do some good in one death, but you can do a lot of good if you just keep living and doing right. Living and doing right. Living and doing right. Over and over. He needs a living sacrifice. You know, if you understand that, there's a lot of people that sacrifice for the wrong cause, and false religion requires awful sacrifice from people. Unbelievable. I appreciate an English gentleman, general, he was, see if I can remember his name. But back in the colonial days of Britain, he had an area he was supposed to be in charge of in India. Now, in the Hindu religion, most of you know this, that they, and in a lot of pagan religion, they burn the bodies at death. You know that? And you've probably seen that. By the way, that's getting a lot more popular in America now. But burning the bodies was the old pagan way. When you bury the Christian, you're picturing the resurrection. When he comes forth, he's coming forth picturing what Christ did. He's buried, and then he arises. That's the picture. Now, in Hinduism, they burn the bodies. In the old days, and they still will in some places, and they still do this on some mission fields, when they burn a body, they'll also take the man's wife, and in some cases, even his kids, and also put them on the pile and burn them though they're alive. Just like the pharaohs buried over there and buried live wives and live horses and things, because they were going to use them on the other side. Foolishness. Nothing in the world has ever been any worse than false religion. And the price it makes people pay. But this English man, he was a general in the British Army. His name was Charles Napter. They called him Sir Charles, you know. Maybe he'd been knighted by the Queen, I don't know. But he told them they couldn't do that. He was in charge, and you can burn the dead body, but you can't burn the live wife. And they said, you don't understand, that's our custom. That's our culture. That's what we always do. And so the wife has to be put on top there and burned also. He said, well, let me tell you, I'm from England, and I also have a culture. And he said, my culture is this. Every time you build a burn pile, I'm going to build a gallows. And every time you burn a live woman, I'm going to hang you by the neck. That's my custom. I like a fellow like that. Amen. So they didn't burn very many wives under his rule. By the way, somebody needs to stand up to Islam like that the same way. Women ought to understand what they do to women in that false religion. Get off of that, because it'd be easy to park on it. But a living sacrifice, not a dying one, but a living one is what the Lord wants. And it may hurt the flesh some for you to really surrender to God. I'm not going to deny that. If you really surrender to the Lord, it may keep you from making as much money as you could. It may. Many cases you'll be blessed because what you have will go further. But it may cause you to drive an old jalopy compared to that new Cadillac. I don't know. It might cost you a little bit, but what is that compared to heaven? What is that compared to the golden streets of glory? Amen? There's no comparison there. It might cause you to once in a while wear cheaper clothes or something else, but hey, you won't miss a thing. God will supply your needs. That's his promise. Keeping the right balance. There's a verse I've often used and quote it quite a bit, but I'm looking over in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Listen, let me read it to you. For our light affliction, let's talk about why we're alive here. It's called light affliction, which is but for a moment. I don't care if you live 90 years and compared to eternity, that's just a moment. And so he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen, the next verse says. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Get the balance. Man, serving God, surrendering the body, having the blessing of a peace in your heart. God can use me. He will use me. I'll keep a clean body. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'll let God come move in, and I'll let God direct me, and I'll let him use my hands and use my tongue and use my feet to carry the gospel. I mean, get a hold of that a little bit. God does want your body as a living sacrifice. You will do out without some things that the world says you gotta have. You know what I find? The more and longer I live, I find I don't need everything I see out there in the world. You need to get to that place. Get to the place where you can walk through and look at things and say, don't need that. Amen. Really? I get off on that, but I see folks do such foolish stuff. Some of you young married couples, you ought to watch that plastic card. It'll get you in Dutch. It'll wind up breaking up your marriage. You better watch out for just getting everything on credit. I told this before, but I want to hear it again. Had a couple in our church get married, good kids, good church families, years ago, so quit trying to figure out who I'm talking about. You won't. I'll disguise it so you won't. Anyway, they've been married a while. I don't mean long. I mean, I believe less than a year. I'm almost sure less than a year. And one of the dads come by and put a bug in my ear. He said, I wish you'd call on so-and-so. He said, they're just getting in all kind of trouble. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, they both got jobs, but he said they're broke. So I went by and called on them. So help me, as I'm going in the house, I meet a well-dressed young man coming out of the door with a great gift of gab. He was a salesman. Now, if you're going to be a salesman, it's good to have a gift of gab. And he had it. He shook hands with me, and as soon as he figured he wasn't going to sell me nothing, he left. But I went on in and sat down with that young couple. And got to talking with him, and found out the guy that just left was a vacuum cleaner salesman. Now, that's all right. My wife's bought a vacuum cleaner too, and I never have learned how to operate it. But anyway, something you don't learn, man. Anyway, sat down there and talked a little bit. They didn't just order a vacuum cleaner. They ordered a vacuum cleaner system where it's put in the walls, and all you do is go around with a hose and plug it in to this outlet and move it and plug it into that outlet. I mean, I suspect that thing could just suck everything up it hit. I kept on talking with them. They were making monthly payments, big monthly payments. Then I got to looking around. They rented the house, and it had hardwood floors. Some of you get that. You don't get it, I'll send that salesman to your house. You don't need a vacuum cleaner when a $2 stick broom would do all you need on that wooden floor. Amen. Some of you girls didn't even know that. A stick broom is a long... Can I explain it to you? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Listen, be careful on that stuff that you see and buy and go in debt for that you don't need. Then blame God. God didn't give me enough money. Didn't give you enough brains either. If you want to blame him for anything, blame him for that. Amen? Mercy. But a living sacrifice means living unselfishly. If you do that, you'll go against the nature of the flesh. The flesh hadn't changed. I told you the story about Abe Lincoln walking down the sidewalk near the White House when he was president, and he had twin boys, and they're about, one on one hand, one on the other, and they're just bawling their heads off. And the neighbor walked out and said, Mr. President, said, what's the matter with your boys? And Abe Lincoln said the same thing that's the matter with the country. He said, I've got three pieces of hard candy, and each one of them wants two. Oh, yeah, that's entitlements coming down our way. That's the freeloading state that we've created. That's the covetous nature of man that keeps crying for more and more and more. That's what it is. It means living unselfishly, though, if you're going to let your body be a sacrifice to serve God. It is so important that we get our head on right. And our head on right is when we get it in the Word of God and see what God says about it, believe what God says about it, act on what God says about it. And you know what? If we'll do that, we'll get away from this old worldly idea of seeing and wanting everything. No wonder the 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet. No wonder over there in 1 John that he warns about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's the flesh, but it's fallen flesh. It's vile flesh. It'll go back and let the skin worms in it eat it up if you put it in the ground. That's where it is. But you know, even we that are saved, we have to make a choice about whether we're going to obey God's request or not. Colossians 3 says, set your affections on things above. Boy, that'll do it. That'll do it. Too many of us only go by what we want because we see it. I joke with my wife some, and she's more of a miser than I am when it comes to saving and being conservative. But I joke with her sometime. I say, went shopping. Did you see something you didn't know you need till you got there? Let me rephrase that for you ladies. You didn't know you needed it until you saw how well they had it packaged. Amen. I have to amen myself when you get out on a hard truth like that. We saw it. Hey, didn't Eve get in trouble by looking at something? She saw it. It looked good to the eyes. We still got eye trouble. We still got eye trouble. Whatever the eye disease was Eve had, we all got it. Yeah, good to look upon. Good to look upon. It's amazing how we see something and then we want it. I have a weakness I have to fight. If I tell it, you won't tell anybody, will you? I like to look at cars. My wife says I lust after cars. She said, you're going to have a wreck one day. You put your eyes back on the road. Say, what do? Do you pass one of those brand new, shiny car places? No. I pass an old junkyard. And I see a 54 model International sticking out through the fence. Oh, man, you see that? Or is a 40 Ford over here? You see that? Look at the road. Now, the truth is, I have to fight that. By the way, you can call what I look at junk because it's old, because it needs painting. Wait a minute. Just because it's got some shiny stuff about it don't make it no less junk. In fact, sometimes more junk. Amen. Better watch out for it. See, we have this thing of taking what we can see. We want what we can see. A dictator, captain of a firing squad in Mexico, and they've had so many revolutions down there, I can't keep up which one it was. That's the truth, you know it. But anyway, he was the captain of a firing squad, and quite often he'd have to line up some men and shoot them, have his soldiers shoot them. He laughed about this later and wrote about it. He said, talking about fear and fear of the unknown, he said, more than one time we'd walk out have the firing squad, have the men lined up against the wall. And he said, over here on the wall, I'd have a door. That door would be painted totally black. And I would give those men a choice. You want to stand here and be executed by firing squad? Or do you want to take your chance of going through that door and see what we do to you? He said, in all the years that I lined up firing squads, no man ever went through the black door. He said, what they didn't know was on the other side of the black door was total freedom. But they would always take what they could see, fearing what they could not see. And you see why a lot of folks don't want to surrender to the Lord? They fear what they don't know. They fear what's on the other side of the door. They fear to go out and give God a chance to do something with them. If you'll be willing to get your hands off the steering wheel and let God guide your life, surrender to God. Let your body be a living sacrifice. Lord, here it is, for good, for bad, whatever you want to do with it, whatever you show me, whatever door, I'll step through it, whatever job you've got, from cleaning the toilet to working the bus route to going to the mission field, I'll do it if that's what you want to do with this whole body. It's yours. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. I belong to the Lord Jesus. He saved me, and I'll soon be in heaven because he saved me. In the meantime, if you can get any glory out of using this old ball of flesh, go ahead and use it, God. That's the attitude we need to have. Sad truth is, not too many folks have it. But if you do, look at the rest of the verse. If you do, if the missionary goes to the field, if his wife dies on the mission field, if his kids get sick, if he gets mistreated, if he gets hurt, but still he surrendered to God. If a pastor takes a church and the devil does him bad, but he still surrendered to God. If he does, if he had to sacrifice, look what the last part of the verse says. It's your reasonable service. Do you get a hold of that? But God, you don't know how I hurt. It's your reasonable service. You see, if we could get a hold of this thing to understand, just to understand what Jesus did for us, anything we do for him is reasonable service. Just reasonable service. I look over in Hebrews chapter 12 and read you just a verse. I tell you why it's reasonable service. Verse 3 of Hebrews 12 says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That's where you faint, you know. And you're thinking. He goes on to say, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. He's saying, others have, you haven't. Why are you dropping out? That's what he's really saying there. Reasonable service. Reasonable service. Been many years now, but a little personal testimony. I meditated on this verse. I prayed over this verse over and over again in the early years when, in my mind, I was convinced God couldn't use a country boy. God couldn't use me and my background. And while I hesitated, God wouldn't let me alone. Well, I stand here tonight way down the road. In fact, I can see the end of the track from here. And I want to tell you what, I'm sure glad I said yes. Amen. To the Lord. Amen. Oh, he had some better ones say yes, and he's used some with much more talent. But bless God, he's used me some, and I praise God for that. Where would I be if I'd have said no and dug my feet in and said, I won't pay the price? Hey, I paid some price, but I want to tell you what, the good side's been so much better than the bad. And I say to you, young people especially tonight, trust God. You belong to him. You're saved. You're blood bought. The body is his. It's his. If he can get some glory out of it and use it to win souls, to get a job done, don't fear giving it to God. Don't fear stepping through his door. Freedom's on the other side. Like the old dictator said, freedom would have been there, but they feared what they could not see. And the old temptation is to fear what you cannot see.
and you don't trust what you cannot see. But hey, let God do the seeing for you. Trust Him. Amen. Let's bow.